Final hour here on Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier in for Charles and Joseph as they are off in Rayon City doing something with cloud storage, as they always are. Their faces are plastered all over Times Square for things like that. So
we'll find out later on today.
Yeah. I feel Chase just feels so close right now. Like I can just sense his presence.
Like almost like on the other side of a wall or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's like we're in the same building or something. I don't know. You know, I know he's not here.
It's that phrase, great minds think alike. Maybe the minds are closer than the body.
In the astral plane. You should do like a meditation class where you close your eyes.
Not while driving.
Don't do that while you're driving. Just kind of to wrap up our conversation we've been having.
Sure.
A lot of our texters are kind of very split, just like you and I are. Lee on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, again, 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Did they bench Peyton Manning to save him in his first year? Seems like it worked out okay for him in the Colts. I think that's an interesting point because we all know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts won a Super Bowl.
They did.
Now, I think it's worth noting that Peyton Manning had a rough go at it in his first year. Led the league in interceptions, has the current record for interceptions thrown in a singular season. But he is right. It did work out well for them.
It did. I mean,
different situation.
Yeah, it's a different
situation. You had an offense around him. You had Reggie Wayne and guys like that. You know,
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison Sr.
Let's not forget.
Jeff Saturday was snapping the ball.
Dallas Clark.
Yeah, he had an offensive line. That's the difference here. And that was a championship-level team as it got – well, not in that year, but they were much closer to being that than the Titans are currently.
Yeah. To the whole point, I think Skyler makes a great point at all this, and it's kind of the same one you just mentioned with you know the whole Peyton Manning situation. Skyler mentioned you know they never should have started Cam Ward. I agree – to that statement off the top, like on the surface of that. But if you look at this Titans team as a whole, not having Will Levis as the quarterback because of the shoulder thing, I don't think the way this kid Cam Ward carries himself, it would have worked out that way.
Yeah.
Like on paper, it seems like logical, but looking at this kid, you can't sit him on the bench initially. I think it's still in the cards that late in the season, out of contention, take a little seat. Ride the pine a little bit.
And that's where I'm going to go with this next text from Gunner on our text line. You sit a starter when you've clinched playoffs, maybe. Not a rookie who's still proving every moment matters. You could be taking away a game-winning drive, crucial two-minute situations from him.
Now, what about this, Gunner? You said clinching playoffs. What if you're clinching the first overall pick? Can you sit him then?
No.
Am I missing something here?
Here's the thing. I don't think the Titans need the first overall pick this year.
I think they do.
I think they need a high pick.
I think they need the first overall pick because they could trade that bad boy back.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm saying they need a high pick, and whether they can weigh their options right there or not, you take an elite receiver or an edge rusher or something that high, or if you don't feel comfortable doing that or the prospects are not as good, someone's going to want a quarterback if you're drafting that high.
Yeah.
You trade back.
I just think you just got to trade back number one overall pick, and if it is a quarterback, there's not a good quarterback class. That's the thing I'm harping on. I don't know if you can really look at this class and say we have a good quarterback class to choose from.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jake said this I think yesterday or maybe it was 2 days ago. They were kind of talking about the grand scheme of quarterbacks coming out of this upcoming draft class, and the top prospects have not performed to an NFL caliber level thus far. Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers especially, Cade Klubnik is currently on a 1-3 Clemson slump. Ball club, which I was very, very wrong about them, and I think we all were.
I'm at a loss of that.
Drew Aller, I guess you could say has been the best of those, but they haven't played anyone.
This is the weekend.
Yeah,
no.
We'll see a lot with him this upcoming weekend when they take on Oregon at home in Happy Valley, which you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game in our college football game of the week. But I think kind of just to wrap this conversation up, it's a stalemate we're not going to know the answer of this one for quite some time. Ultimately, I just feel it's more important to get your guy experience and get your guy game reps to build that organizational trust in him rather than sit him just out of fear of injury. But that's just me. That's just how I feel. You feel differently.
I do.
A lot of texters feel differently than what you feel, and a lot of texters feel differently from what I feel.
I just think texters and Titans fans in general have the, not assumption, but the feeling of, yeah, we're just fans. We want to see our team win. I get that. You have to look at this from a big window, big picture spectrum. This is a 3 to 4 year build process.
Mm.
Take it to the studs. And if it's 14 weeks in and they're near the bottom at like the number two, number one overall spot, don't harm for injury. Don't put them in. Just sit them. So look, you're securing your future. And this, I'll end on this because that's all I can do from here on out. You're securing your future. You have this high draft pick you can trade back for draft capital. And on top of that, you have something to look forward to next season. Like, this is a next season or next two seasons picture, not this season. People have to get this mindset of, oh, we need to win now, win now, win now. You'll get a few wins here and there, hopefully. And if this team goes defeated the whole year, then we're looking at something else. So I don't know. But that's all I'm saying.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Nick Frazier, reset our question of the day.
Yes. Speaking of the Titans and how weirdly bad they are, I don't know how else to describe them. They're just bad. The question of the day is, if the Titans were a warning label, what would it say? What would be on that warning label? 615-737-1025. Call or text. Best text wins tickets to see Yacht Club, right?
The Yacht Club. Tickets before you can buy them. Again, that show
February
is
7th.
February 7th at the Ryman Auditorium. The best texter will win those tickets, and we will decide that at the end of the show. I guess we're not wrapping up this conversation right now because Larry is on our phone line, wants to talk about the Cam Ward conversation we are having. Larry, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Great. Listen, I agree. I think the Titans need to get the first pick, and they need to use that as draft capital. I mean, I feel like they missed out a great opportunity last year to pick up more draft picks. Yes, they got Cam Ward, but ultimately they have to have more studs on that team. And right now, I mean, you look at that roster, I mean, there might be three or four guys who you think are decent building blocks around that team. You know, Cam Ward, Latham, Skoronski, Lavondre Sweat. I think those guys are building blocks. Besides that, that whole team really needs to be improved with some guys. So hopefully, I mean, yes, I want the Titans to win, and you're in one of those situations where it's like, I want them to win, but are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to win the Super Bowl this year? No. I mean, they may not win five games. So I just think for the betterment of the team and the organization going long-term, it's okay to lose games this year because I do think better days are ahead.
Thanks, Larry. That's a great point. Yeah, he makes the point that there aren't a lot of young stars on this team other than Devondre Sweat, maybe you can make the case for, but Cam Ward is the brightest among all of those. Hence why I think, let the kid play. Show what you got. Show the future.
Agree to disagree. That's all I got to say.
I guess that's all we got to say.
I'm not going to comment anymore. We're just going in circles.
615-737-1025. Again, our phone number. If you want to text or call us with your answers to our question of the day for a chance to win tickets to the Yacht Rock Club. Before you can buy tickets, that show February 7th at the Ryman Auditorium. Coming up next, this will be fun because I want to play a little game with you, Nick Frazier. Okay. Who are the top five best SEC quarterbacks of the quarter century, the last 25 years? We'll do that next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier filling in on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier filling in for you on this beautiful, beautiful Friday. It's not too hot outside, not a cloud in the sky. A good, nice change of pace.
Beautiful day.
For the amount of rain we've gotten this week. So it's nice.
Go outside, get some sunshine.
Go see some football tonight. Again, our Metro Nashville Public Schools game of the week. on the air tonight. Pregame starting at 6:30. Nick Frazier, you're going to be there on the sideline. You do a phenomenal job with that.
Well, thank you.
By the way, no game blitz this week, unfortunately, as things behind the scenes kind of happen. Okay. No one's in trouble, but just that's what happened. Real quick before we get into what I want to do right here.
Sure.
Let's get to some of your questions on our question of the day. Again, if the Titans had a warning label on this season, what would it be? Cody on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, warning, front office claims to have cancer curing AI models but can't figure out what first round talent looks like. I think that's more of a Chad Brinker warning label than the full front office.
But still, he's president of football operations. So that kind of is the hierarchy over everything. So I'd count it.
He also says, warning, coach will run the ball 5 consecutive times down 21 points inside your own 30 and claim to be a good play caller. He's not disappointed in his play calling whatsoever. I hope you know that.
Yeah. He said that in the press conference.
Just so you know. Again, keep those coming. We will assess the winner at the end of the show, and you'll receive a text from me saying, good job, you won. So, I want to do this because you and I don't get to do shows like this very often, me and you together. Mm-hmm. We will moving forward because you and I are on the weekend show. But as kind of our first little thing, I want to talk about who are your top 5 SEC quarterbacks of all time. And I have asked ChatGPT, our good buddy, what they think is, and it may surprise you, but I want to hear yours first, and then I'll give you mine, and then I'll give you ChatGPT's.
Sure.
Go for it.
All right, so I don't know if you can allow this or not, but I have a 5A and a 5B.
That's fine.
I had a tie. I'll start with my 5B, and that's Stetson and Bennett.
Oh.
The last 25 years, winning, what, 3 national championships with Georgia? I mean.
Yeah, I should preface, I said of all time, I actually meant of this quarter century.
Yeah, so the last 25 years. So Stetson Bennett is at 5B for me. And then my 5A is A.J. McCarron.
I think
underrated, undervalued in some regard, really good quarterback for Alabama, led them to 3 BCS national championships as well. Could be a little higher on the list. You could say this is a little bit of some personal bias at number 4, but I have Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott, what he did at Mississippi State, he just changed that program, just changed the trajectory of it. Obviously, it was ripped down to the studs recently with Jeff Lebby, and now it's kind of being built back up. Hopefully, a win this weekend over Tennessee. It's for another day.
Yeah.
But at number 3, I have Cam Newton.
There you go.
Had a lot of different, you know, paths for him when it came to being at Florida. Had the whole laptop situation, and then went to JUCO, came back, Auburn.
Whoa. War Eagle.
Exactly. And then at number 2, Tim Tebow.
Whoa!
Yes.
Well, I already know who number 1 is.
Yeah, it had to be Tim Tebow. I think what he did at Florida with Urban Meyer, and it's just, he's an incredible athlete in college. I wouldn't say the same thing for the NFL, but what he did in college, he's remembered. When you see 15 in Florida blue, everybody knows who that was, mm-hmm. and that's Cam.
He's got a statue outside that stadium.
That's Tim. See, not Cam. That's Tim. Tim Tebow.
Timothy.
So, and at number 1, the guy that I think is the best college football quarterback, maybe of all time, arguably of all time, Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel.
What he did at Texas A&M just took the world by storm. I think that's something that you just have to take an appreciation for. When he beat Alabama, it was like David and Goliath. It was one of those just back-and-forth battles and ended up winning. So, hey, Johnny Football, number 1 on the list. And the reason why I mentioned Johnny Football as well is just his athleticism in the pocket is being just that guy that would improvise outside the pocket, run for 10, 20 yards. He reminds me of the NFL version of Kyler Murray. Simple as that. That's why I like Kyler Murray so much. Reminds me a little bit of Johnny Football.
You know who reminds me of Johnny Football right now?
Who's that?
That guy down the street.
Really?
Diego Pavia.
Oh.
They play a very, very similar game. Johnny Football wasn't a dynamic passer. He couldn't throw it 60 yards down the field, but when he took off with his legs, you could not stop him. So I'll give you my top 5.
Please, let's hear it.
At number 5, from the University of Georgia, Matthew Stafford.
Forgot about Stafford.
I was a little young for Matthew Stafford. He played in 08-09. So I was, I'll show my age here, I was 4. So I don't remember much of Matt Stafford, but I, of course, have gone back and watched the film, and he was a dynamic player. And he kind of sparked the start of these great quarterbacks coming into Georgia. And you wouldn't have the run of quarterbacks, and he wasn't an NFL guy, but Jake Fromm was a good quarterback at Georgia, and then you had Stetson Bennett and Carson Beck, and now you have Gunnar Stockton.
Great game managers.
Yes. Matt Stafford is certainly one of those. Cam Newton at number four. You kind of talked about him.
Wow. You have him at four?
Yeah.
Wow, I had him a little higher.
Just a monster among men.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 6'5", could throw the ball 80 yards. I mean, took off and kind of like Johnny Football. He took off and ran, but kind of like Josh Allen, he would just run you over.
Mm-hmm.
He was fun to watch. I really liked that Auburn team he was on when they won the national championship.
That was in Arizona, wasn't it? Against Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, Brian Harsin was the coach.
Crystal ball.
Wasn't it Brian Harsin?
Yeah, I thought it was Gus Malzahn.
Oh, it was Gus.
He was a SEC analyst for a small.
No, Brian Harsin was awful. Never mind.
I know exactly. I can see his face right now. I know texting him immediately. But.
Yeah, I know. They're going to rip me for that one. Number three.
Gene Chizik.
Yeah, Gene Chizik. There we go. There you go. Number three is Johnny Football. They're, like I said, not the greatest pure passer, but when he takes off with his legs, you can't stop him. The final two, I think, are...
Wait, you have Johnny Football at three?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm ready. Okay, who do you have for 2-1?
Yeah. And number two, from the from Louisiana State University, Heisman winner, Joseph Burrow.
Yeah, it's fair.
Had maybe the greatest season in quarterback history of all time in 2019, won the national championship, and just a phenomenal story from a backup at Ohio State, transfers to LSU, has a rough year his first year, and then has all these tools around him in Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Racy McMath.
Hey, Titans legend.
Titans legend, Racy McMath. And then look at what he's doing in the NFL now, if he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dynamic, dynamic player. And then, of course, number one, what I think it may be the greatest quarterback in college football history, Tim Tebow.
Yeah. I think Tim Tebow, again, what he did with Urban Meyer and winning three national titles?
Two.
Two, yeah. I like the way you kind of mapped out your list and comparing it to mine. I kind of took quarterbacks that were there for the long haul.
Yeah.
I mean, minus Cam Newton and Johnny Manziel, minus those two. Well, Johnny just went to the draft early, but he stayed at A&M. He didn't transfer anywhere. But all those guys I picked on my list were there for the long haul. They were there for multiple years. Some were multi-time national champions. Just something that helped build the culture, and that's kind of what I looked at for that.
So I've asked our good buddy ChatGPT to comprise a list for us, just to kind of compare what we think to what they think. So they have five honorable mentions, and then they get into their five. So their honorable mentions are Matthew Stafford from Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Football as an honorable mention.
Wow.
From Texas A&M. Tua Tagovailoa from Bama, Dak Prescott, and Stetson Bennett. So I don't necessarily agree with Johnny Manziel being an honorable mention.
Those are all honorable mentions?
Yes.
Interesting.
Here's where it gets interesting. Number five, they have A.J. McCarron.
Hey, I like this.
I mean, you did too.
Johnny on the spot.
They have another Alabama quarterback at number four.
No.
Bryce Young.
Are you kidding
me? At number four.
That's bad.
Over Johnny Football and Matt Stafford. I think Tua's better than Bryce Young.
Yeah.
At least in college.
I guess, are they really factoring that game where Jalen Hurts got injured in the national title game and Tua came in to save the day? Is that really?
Well, Tua was the starter the year after, remember?
Oh, that's right. Never mind. I had it backwards.
Yeah.
Oops. Continue.
At number three, they have Cam Newton. We had the same top three as ChatGPT. Really? Cam Newton, Joe Burrow, Tim Tebow.
Hmm. Your top three.
My top three.
Mine's a little different, yeah. Interesting.
I cannot buy into Bryce Young the fourth best quarterback in the SEC of the last 25 years.
Johnny Football being an honorable mention is honestly it's blasphemy. You can't do that. That's the best college football quarterback of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
that's crazy. That is absolutely nuts.
I mean, if you were to ask me, and maybe this is youth bias, it's between Burrow and Tebow, for me, as far as pure passers of the game and just the name value that they hold. Tim Tebow is still, like, you watch SEC Nation and you see, oh my God, that's Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw Tim Tebow in person, throw away his NFL career and his attempted MLB career for the New York Mets, I look at Tim Tebow and I was like, that is a Florida legend right there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, he is Florida legend.
I mean,
not a Denver legend.
He's a Heisman winner. He's a national championship. So I've kind of furthered this to ask ChatGPT to give us some explanations on why Bryce Young is number four. They say he's a Heisman Trophy winner, first Alabama quarterback to do it, SEC champion in 2021, over 8,356 passing yards and 80 touchdowns in just 2 years as a starter, and clutch playmaker and face of Bama's transition after Mac Jones. Didn't realize Mac Jones was the face of Alabama quarterback play.
That chat's got it wrong.
Chat is wrong. Chat is very wrong. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation. But coming up next, I got a Preds thought to get to.
Ooh.
As the preseason is just getting started. Regular season starts next week, I think. Next Thursday against the Columbus Blue Jackets over at Bridgestone Arena. I've got a thought to get to. We'll get to that next here on Chasing Big Joe. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier filling in for you on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier filling in for you as Charles and Joseph are off doing their own things today. The Chasing Big Joe Show, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, so I think we have our winner here on the question of the day. I know you're just immersed in the Ryder Cup right now.
What an incredible shot. I know, from about 200 yards out. That was incredible.
Was that Scotty?
No,
that?
Scotty's up right now. He's about 100 yards out. Scotty.
Scotty. Oh.
Go in the hole.
Scotty. Oh, the ball just skipped
Scotty
over the
hole. Scotty Scheffler from 104 yards out just about sunk one onto the green. I mean, he's just throwing darts at this point. All right, that's enough golf for the
day. No more golf.
Sorry.
Okay, so I have a Preds thought to get to, and I want to pose this question to you. Based on watching him this preseason and in these preseason games, Brady Martin has looked fantastic. Like, he looks like everything the Preds have drafted him to be in the top five. And I'm curious, we've kind of had a little bit of this conversation before, but do you think Brady Martin would be a lock to make the opening day night roster for the Predators?
I mean, going back to your comment you made last weekend about Brunette's system right now of just trying to build the chemistry with two veterans, one youngster in each line, I think it's clever. I think if he includes Brady Martin into all that, I see the kid making the opening day roster. And or, you know, they may use him in some aspects, but not fully. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that might be the case. I like the kid. I mean, great draft pick. Overall, in the couple of preseason games that either of us have produced and or watched, he's just been nothing but spectacular, in my opinion. And I'm not gaslighting it. I actually enjoy watching the kid play. He scored, what, 2 goals so far already?
Yeah. Both in the second period of the preseason game against the Lightning the other day.
Yeah.
He's just fun to watch. And look, I don't want to say he's a permanent lock to make this team for the entire year because there's logistics that go behind that. What I think they're going to do, and you and I had a conversation with Chase about this over the phone as he's in New York City for his cloud storage thing. Yeah,
I think we're at 2:30 right now. I think he's at the podium getting his
Award.
So
okay.
Add another one to the bookshelf for Chase
good.
McCabe.
That's good. But I think we can all agree that what I think they're going to do is they're going to have him on the opening night roster.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play 8 to 9 games with the Predators.
Hmm.
Then they are going to send him back down to the juniors. You know why? Hmm. Because that does not require a contract or any financial situation.
Yeah.
It's essentially like without a 10-day contract, it's like putting a guy on a 10-day contract. It takes up a roster spot, but you don't have to give this guy an NHL contract. So you're not losing anything.
Yeah, it's like renting a car for 3 hours, and you don't have to fill up the gas tank because it's over halfway, and you don't have to pay an extra $50.
There you go.
That's simply what it is.
Brilliant.
I like it.
Yeah, I think that is the right move. And look, if it comes down to it and the Preds are in a playoff position, they can call him right back up. And he can, still without a contract, he could provide some help. Now, I really, really like, in watching him play these last couple of days, the thing he has going with Matt Wood right now. Those two have some chemistry.
They do.
Matt Wood set up Brady Martin for a goal. They pass the puck across the ice to each other, and somehow they find the other one wide open. I really, really like the chemistry they're coming up with, and I think that this could be a really nice young duo for the Predators as they move towards the future.
They could be building some stiff competition, man. It really could be. I mean, Matthew Wood and Brady Martin, just youngsters on this team in general. You know, Barry Trotz was on Chasing McDrow, I think it was last Friday or two Fridays ago, and he mentioned he doesn't want to tear anything down. He wants to keep building this.
Yeah, and he should.
And he is. He kind of phrased it as when the computer doesn't work, you got to keep trying to turn it on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is. I think you're hitting the reboot button with this team, and when you hit the reboot, hopefully things kind of pan out, which they should. I think a lot of the guys they brought in and also just the youngsters developing, maybe over-marinating some of them in the AHL, which is fine, because that means they'll be ready for the NHL level. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. No, 1,000%. Look, Barry Trotz harps on overcooking guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not afraid to overcook a guy in the minors because that helps them come up to the big show and play competent hockey. And I think you can look at some guys that have been quote-unquote overcooked in the minors that are going to be key contributors for the team this upcoming season, like Fedor Svechkov, like Zach LaRue. Maybe Joakim Kimmel makes the roster, and he is a key contributor for the Predators. Look, these veterans on this team are not going to be around here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Forsberg has been arguably the best player in franchise history. You could argue the same thing for Roman Josi. Honestly, I'd put both of those guys on the Predators' Mount Rushmore if we're going to do that. But they're getting older. Forsberg's 30, I believe. Roman Josi's around 32, if I'm not mistaken.
He is 35, Roman Josi.
Oh, wow. He's a lot older than I thought. Yeah. So, okay, so they're not going to be around here forever. So what I'm trying to say is...
Phil is 31.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're right on that, yeah.
They got to have this young wave of Predators finally hit. And I realize you've had some guys that have come up from the minors and you thought they were going to be key pieces for your future but have not panned out, like a Phil Tomasino, mm-hmm. like Juuso Parsonen, Tommy Novak, guys like that that are elsewhere and are not contributors in their new organizations either. But it's just that you got to have a new face of the franchise moving forward. And I think Brady Martin, granted he's 19 and he's got a lot to learn about the game of the National Hockey League.
There you go.
I think he has the potential to be that guy.
Yeah, and for Preds fans out there, if you're thinking, when you draft a high draft pick, you're wanting a Connor McDavid immediately. You want a guy that can be immediately plugged into the starting roster and help out with this team. If that is the case with Brady Martin, that's awesome. If it's not, it's still okay because he'll have time to marinate a little bit, maybe overcook a little bit in the minors.
Overcook.
And I'm okay with overcooking a little bit as long as it's not, to the point where it doesn't taste good. I mean,
you would know.
Yeah, you got to have a little flavor. And I think Brady Martin brings the flavor to this Preds roster. He really does.
He's going to be fun. A new fun young player.
How important do you guys think it is going to be for patience to be preached for the fan base? Because, Connor, you mentioned something earlier just with some of the past prospects. And, I mean, I'm looking now. Outside of Luke Evangelista, 172 games played in the NHL in 2020, it's pretty barren how many guys from this prospect system have been able to really come in and make contributions. LaRue has 62 games. Svechkov 52. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, there's not anyone above 50. So how important do you guys think it is going to be for this fan base to kind of be patient and let those prospects marinate a little bit when they're really itching to see someone that's young come up and make that impact soon?
That's a good point. I think that's a really good question. I think you kind of have to expect some veteran leadership heading into this season at least and hope your veterans deliver the way they didn't last year. especially the three guys you brought in and paid a lot of money for, mm-hmm. Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea. You also made some trades and some acquisitions for Nick Perbix and Nick Hague, who I think Nick Hague is injured for a little while. But you kind of want to see the young guys overperform as well.
Right.
Like, I've mentioned this before, and so has Chase. I would like to see a Joakim Kimmel play his ass off and beat Erik Haula to the third line, and Erik Haula moves down to the fourth. But to your point, Brandon, I think you got to look at some of these guys in AHL and appreciate what they're doing down there, but just realize they got to take their time.
Yeah.
I'm okay with overcooking if they come here and they deliver to the way that they're supposed to, but I think you got to just be a little bit patient, and I realize patience is hard. The Titans preach patience all the time, and I'm over patience with them. But Predators hockey,
it's a different story.
It's a different story because you have minor league affiliates, and it's like baseball in a roundabout way. But hockey development has become a little bit slower than baseball recently.
Yeah,
like you're seeing guys like Paul Skeens is a perfect example of that. Paul Skeens was 6 months after he was drafted, the ace for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep.
Dylan Cruz is over there in Washington playing some good ball. You have guys that are drafted, and 6 months later, they are key contributors for their ball club. Hockey's a little bit different in that, and it takes some time because you have, you know, AHL and ECHL, and there's so many leagues, and they go back to college while they're drafted, and they play in juniors. There's so much more hoops they have to jump through. But at the same time, it just takes a little bit longer for them to develop. Yeah. So I think you just have to have a little bit of patience with that.
Yeah, I'd agree to all that. Just when you have young guys that are hungry, and as Victor Scott has coined it, to be youngry. I think the Nashville Predators have that wave of youngry players, these young, hungry players that are not on long contracts, that are really trying to prove their worth. And when you have guys like that, that are, I call it the fat and happy contracts, when they're not on the fat and happy contracts, they contribute at a whole different level.
Yeah.
And then you get the most out of them. Yeah, they're youngry.
They want to prove themselves. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for your texts and calls as we move towards our final segment. Coming up next, as is staple here on this program, we'll play What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. That's coming up next right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game. Final segment here on Chase and Big Joe today on this beautiful, beautiful Friday. Get out there. It's a beautiful day today. Go enjoy some sunshine. Not too hot. We needed the sun after a long day of rain. Or a long week of rain, I should say.
Not too cold.
Boys to men, going on.
Just right.
There you go. As is always, we will play What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays.
All right. First on the docket.
Well, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do the thing.
Jumping it. Sorry.
I got to do the thing. Hold on. Celebrity Birthdays and What Day Is It? Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Above and beyond industry standards.
All right. First on the list, we have European Day of Languages. So shout out to all the European
What is languages. Your favorite European language?
I think you may know.
Italian.
I think that works.
What's Nani's favorite?
So it's Italian, but it's Sicilian dialect, which I don't know any of that. It sounds nothing of Italian.
Was Nani there with you yesterday?
She was.
That's good.
She was. She loves
spinning
it.
Spinning the pies.
Yep. Another sold out event. Thank you guys for supporting. German Butterbrot Day is today.
Oh, happy German Butterbrot Day to Pete Weber.
Yeah. Oh, he's big. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. Hug a Vegetarian Day is today. Human Resource Professionals Day is today. Johnny Appleseed Day.
Oh, yeah. It takes me back to kindergarten.
Yeah.
With the pans on our heads.
And you play the spoons. That's
right. Yeah.
Love Note Day is today. Write a love note to someone you care about.
I got yours earlier today.
Oh, thank you.
That was really nice of you.
Appreciate it.
Yours is coming later.
Thank you. Lumberjack Day is today. Let's see. Next is Mesothelioma Awareness Day.
Yeah. Be aware of that.
Yep.
Yep.
National Bakery Day. National Better Breakfast Day. Delicious breakfast guy. National Brave Day. National Compliance Officer
National
Day.
National Brave Day, as in the Braves of Atlanta?
No, not those Braves. They're not too brave.
Yeah. I don't think we should be celebrating them right now.
National Dumpling Day. Native American Day is today. Save a Koala Day. Shamu the Whale Day is today.
Ah, SeaWorld.
sport purple platelets. Basically, you wear purple for platelets day. Excuse me.
Thank okay. you. Yep. All right. I don't know what a platelet is, but okay.
The Last of Us Day is today.
As in the show and the game?
I think the game. Yeah, the game. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great
let's
game.
Let's see. Last but not least, National Doodle Day.
No, I have a doodle right here.
Do you?
It's right here. Look.
Oh, that's right. It is a doodle.
I'll show the camera. It's Chase and Joe. This is a picture they sent us, a postcard from New York.
Oh.
For their cloud storage.
I was wondering where that mail came from.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on to that. Celebrity birthdays is going on now. We're done with what day is it?
So me versus Brandon here.
That is correct. Brandon, okay. Be ready. So the rules are you have to get them within 2 years. So if it's 58 and you say 60 and he says 56, that's a push. But if he says 57 and you say 60, he gets it because it's one closer.
All right, I'm following.
Okay, perfect.
He's following. He's
all right,
locked.
We'll start out with just celebrities, then we'll get to sports in a minute. First on the list, we have celebrity. Looks like, is that Linda Hamilton? She's an actress. How old is Linda Hamilton?
What is she in? Do we know?
The Terminator. She's in The Terminator. Okay. Dark Fate.
Yeah. Oh, I know who she is. Okay. She is 63.
Okay.
Say 60.
69.
Nice.
Yep. Next on the list is, if I keep going down the list, there we go. It is another actress, Tallulah Riley. She is an actress. It doesn't say what she was in. Let's see. She had a small role as a nurse in Thor, The Dark World.
Horrible movie. 50.
Okay.
45.
40. We're off to a great start here, guys.
Well, this is what happens when you have two youngins play.
Let's see. More on the list here. Actor Melissa Sue Anderson was in Little House on the Prairie. How old
Joe's
is
favorite show.
Melissa Sue Anderson?
71.
Say 77.
63.
Oh, yeah, we're doing great. Doing great right now.
Country singer Carlene Carter. How old is Carlene?
Carlene. Carlene, Carlene. Okay, 40.
44.
70.
Oh. Holy moly.
We're going to continue here. Trying to find something you guys may know. Oh, boy. Jazz trumpeter Nicholas Payton. How old is Nicholas Payton?
I don't know who that is. Okay, he's 47.
I'm going to say 52.
Oh, my goodness, he's 52.
Oh!
He's on the board. Brandon is up 2-0 here.
Beginner's luck.
Let's see. We'll go to sports birthdays because I feel like you guys may get those. Tennis player, and I believe now retired tennis player, Serena Williams. How old is Serena Williams?
Serena is 45.
Took mine. I'll go at 43.
44. It's a push.
Push.
Sorry about that, guys. Let's see. Pitcher in the MLB. Sean Doolittle. How old is Sean Doolittle?
Sean Doolittle. I'll say 32.
Okay.
I'll say 33 because I was also going to say 32.
He is 39.
Oh.
So
he's an old man. Retire.
Another baseball player, Scott Lewis. How old is Scott Lewis?
Scott, 28.
Okay. Brandon?
34.
He is 42. All right. Chris Archer is the last one on the list. He is also a baseball player. So,
lots of baseball birthdays today.
I'm just looking through what the birthday list is for sports, and that's what pops up. So go ahead. Chris Archer, another baseball player and pitcher.
35.
I'm going to say 32.
He is 37. So Connor got that. You said 35, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I still lose.
Still lose. Yeah.
That's okay.
So what a deadlock of a win. But Brandon first on the board here and wins it first time on the
show. Yeah, look at that. He's 1-0.
Yeah.
I am very, very bad at celebrity birthdays, historically.
I think it was just a bad day. I didn't know half those actors or actresses. And the trumpeteer one, I mean, hey, good for Brandon there.
Very good. Very good.
That's good.
Fun show
today.
Good.
Indeed. Connor, we got a fun show planned for tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters are in town.
Yeah, they are. And also Tate McRae will host.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be a good show.
Sweet. We got Vandy tomorrow, too. That's a big game.
Yeah, we do. Tomorrow.
Some college football action.
MTSU plays tomorrow.
Yeah.
They will be over on 93.3, our sister station. They're taking on Kennesaw State in the Conference USA opener. Of course, you can hear Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow as they play Utah State. Over on 94.9 The Fan, Oregon and Penn State play. And, of course, you and I will be on the air tomorrow from 9 to 10 as we get you set into Vanderbilt and Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
And some might say it may sound oddly similar to today.
Maybe.
I don't know.
All I got to say is I think Vandy might win.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're going to win as well.
Okay.
And they're going to be 5-0 heading into that Alabama game.
You know what? That's a good observation there, Connor.
And you know what? I think Alabama comes off a loss headed into that game next week.
Really?
I'm taking the Dogs.
I like the Dogs as well.
And I think the Dogs win by two scores.
14 or 10?
10.
10, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I think they win by probably 10.
I can't bet against Kirby Smart at home. I think I heard Parker earlier say they've won like 32 consecutive home games.
Oh, wow.
Which is ridiculous. And I'm just not buying what Kalen DeBoer is putting down right now.
I just can't buy what he's selling.
It's hard to be the guy after the guy. And there are rare cases where it seems to work out. Like my guy right now, Mark Pope, seems to be the guy after the guy. But very rare case.
You're not that guy, pal.
Trust me. You're not that guy. As we leave you here today, just wanted to, as we always do, I know Joe usually does this,
yeah,
but I'll do it today. For our guys out there, if you're struggling going through any mental health crises, dial 988 on your cellular device to get in touch with someone to give you the help. We need you here. Our world is a better place with you in it. So please dial 988 on your cell phone. Reach out to someone. Get the help you need because this world would not be the same world without you in it. There is a plan for you on this world. You have purpose, and you are loved by us. You are loved by your family. You are loved by all. So get the help you need by dial 988 on your cell phone and seek the help you need.
Indeed.
Hopefully I don't do it as well as he does.
That was spot on. I know Chase normally goes peace, love, rock and roll, and on to the next.
Mental health is physical health.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD with Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.